Okay, everyone, welcome to tonight's episode of Chatter from the Underground. And tonight we have with us, of course, myself, I'm Jabba. We've also got Miss Amber.
Hello.
And then Mr. Bartender Nick.
Cheers, everyone. How are we doing tonight?
And then, hey, Mr. Cool Breeze, you're here too.
Hope everyone's in the comfy chair. We got something good for you today.
All right. And I believe Miss Amber has got a good little intro for us tonight. So take it away, ma'am.
Oh, we have a fun one tonight. Welcome to this week's episode of Chatter from the Underground. Today, we'll be discussing UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. Previously, they were known as UFOs. While the term is used as a replacement for UFO now, it can also mean things like swamp gas or unrecognized planes, opening it up to a far more scientific possibility. Over the course of time, there have been many reports of various sightings. One of the most famous of these is obviously Area 51. I think everybody knows about that. Other well-known incidents include the lights above the New Jersey Turnpike, the encounter of the USS Nimitz, the Lakenheath-Bent Waters incident, the explosion in Ubatuba, and the Sag Harbor incident. But recorded reports go back as far as 1450 BCE, when Thutmose III had a stele erected at the Temple of Amun. It described how a star came down and set fire to his adversaries. There are recorded sightings, both modern and ancient, from all over the known world. So, before we dive into this discussion, Nick, what are we drinking tonight?
Yeah, tonight the classic drink that this bartender has whipped up for you. I'm not going to take credit or blame for any repercussions, but I figured while we're heading out to space and you never know when someone needs a good mind eraser. It's a classic. It's actually from the 80s, and while espresso martinis and coffee cold brew is all the rage, we're going to take a simple but fantastic cocktail, take by adding a coffee liqueur, 2 ounces or more if it suits you. We're going to throw 2 ounces of vodka on there, a little bit of chilled club soda, and some shaved ice. A little bit of shake of either some cinnamon or chocolate for flavor, but springtime is just started. Summer's around the corner. Let's get a mind eraser. Forget about that summer. Beam on up and enjoy a nice coffee-style cocktail. I present to you the mind eraser.
Sounds delicious. So
definitely sound like an alien made that one up.
Oh, yeah.
Out of this world, my friend.
Or a CIA operative.
Always a possibility. You never know who's this one. So, I know we mentioned Area 51. I'd like to kind of steer away from that just because everybody's familiar with it. Everybody kind of knows about it. But diving into this, what are some of your guys' favorite UFO stories that you've heard?
Yeah, you know what? The easy cliche one absolutely almost sounds like Area 51. Everyone wants to get there. And it seems like right when we forget about Area 51, we have things like takeover Area 51 happening. But getting a chance to just look at some of the deep dive there that was sent out this week, some of the literature, there's some amazing sightings and events that I had no idea happened, and just trying to pick out my favorite. Like I was reading up on the one on just like spherical orbs happening all over the world, where you think about saucers, there's new terms, triangular UFOs, UFAs, and I had no idea. I hadn't had my ear to the ground in forever. Just the all around change of the terminology.
What about you, Colbert?
Or
Java.
I was just going to say, I've always been extremely interested and really liked the story of the Battle of Los Angeles, because that was just insane. Like, they just started firing tons of missiles and firepower and everything they had from a military base into one point in the sky, and then said, oh, it was just practice. We were testing our weapons. Right.
Yeah, that's definitely a bit odd. Do you have one, Cool Breeze?
Yeah, I would say I saw this documentary a few years ago. Will Smith was in it. It's called Independence Day. That one was pretty good, but to be realistic.
True story.
Yeah, but to be realistic, the Chicago O'Hare one. Only because it was more recent. A lot of them, you know, were back in the day when, you know, talking about 1960s and before. And this one was pretty recent in 2006. And so many people saw it. And a lot of them were employees at the airport. But that one really had me intrigued, especially since they never did investigation after it happened. They just said, oh, the airport had lights and that was it. And they just never investigated at all, even though lots of people said they saw something.
Anyone here ever seen anything unexplained, any unidentified flying objects or the other newer, more modern, cool term that we're using now these days?
You know, I grew up out near the ocean, and if you go out and look over the water at night, like, you always see the weirdest stuff in the sky.
I agree. I grew up on a small island in the Caribbean, and you always see weird lights flying over. So it's like you just never know, because it's usually clear around the ocean. The night sky is where I came from, and you always see weird things or lights floating on the water, flying in the sky. Just doesn't seem natural, but I might have. I just haven't documented it. I need to get on that.
I don't think I've ever actually seen what I would consider a UFO or UA, what is it? What was the word again?
UAP.
UAP.
UAP, sorry. Could not remember what it was called.
Unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Yes. But I have gone outside early in the morning, and you guys ever see these, like, what they call contrails from, like, jets? The water vapor that they let out as they're flying. And yeah. I'd walk outside, and the entire sky is just one huge checkerboard. I'm like, we have like one small airport about 10 miles down the road. There's no way that many planes. Like, good Lord. Like, I'm talking like, I don't mean like you see a couple in the air, you're like, oh, cool, a jet was there. You can probably like sort of see the tip of it where the jet's at. I'm talking about an entire sky just checkerboarded. I'm like, what the hell?
That sounds a little bit crazy. What about you, Nick?
I'm a little jealous. I'm up here not seeing anything up in the sky. I see some beautiful aurora borealis up in the far north. But I will say I live in a close to a place that is extremely excited about the possibility. Canada does have the world's first UFO landing pad in St. Paul, Alberta, ready to rock. So we're optimistic, and we have them ready to go. Like, we have that target ready to go, but that's far enough away from me, but I'll keep my ear to the ground and be keeping my eye on the Canadian news, because we have a tailor-made pad ready to rock for them. So
come on, I did not know about that.
It's treated a little more serious than you'd think. Probably a little too serious. It isn't a UFO landing pad. They haven't gone up to the UAP. I guess they're keeping the more traditional term, and some pretty fascinating stuff.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways we could go here. Like I said, there's thousands of recorded incidents all over the world. And that's just the ones that are recorded. You know, and some of these date back, like I said, to the very early BCE. You know, sure, what do you guys think of those early ones?
I think some can be explained as sure, possibly, and I'm still on the fence, and I never can truly answer the question, do I believe, this gets into the little green man, and could they, UFO and UAPs don't necessarily mean aliens, they just freely admit that they're unidentified, which is, you know, admitting we don't know what it is, which is, you know, a nice little catch 22. But I do think when you think about the older days when they're spotting them, yes, a cross of that and possibly a little bit of malnutrition and interesting molds and things people were having to eat. And on ships, especially when they saw the stars moving in triangular forms, I like to think it could have been one or the other. I think it's like some early explanations, but then, you know, there every now and then someone sees some triangles moving in its light and they've had a great diet and they haven't had any of that captain's rum. And you know what? I don't want to be pessimistic. I don't want to be overly optimistic. I do think out of the thousands of sightings, there's got to be, there just has to be. And I think it's almost a little cocky to think that there's absolutely nothing, that it's all hoaxes. Like, there's got to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of those early ones, they're early civilizations who are claiming that they got some of their best technology from aliens.
Like, yeah, I've always heard of that.
Crazy to think about.
I've always heard of that, especially like, how could they build the pyramids when they didn't have big cranes and earth movers and all that, things like that.
Or then Stonehenge. How did,
yeah. Kind of like, and the TV show Battlestar Galactica kind of picked up on that too, but I don't want to do any spoilers or anything, but it's one of those things where somebody had to move along civilization to how to get from one technology to the other so fast, and they didn't have the type of things they needed to make it go that fast.
Absolutely. I want to actually go back though to something Amber just mentioned. I never actually really thought of that lost technology or technology. I think often about Greek fire. It really fascinates me, this really odd chemical weapon that was even said to be able to burn on top of water, and this ancient odd chemical that's never been replicated, used in the 14th century in war in Eastern Roman empires. It was devastating, and somehow over years the formula got lost and bastardized and changed to now, even right now, it can't be replicated. And that it almost seems unfathomable, and someone coming and just giving them this recipe or this amazing weapon almost sounds pretty plausible when you actually look at it from the lens you brought up. And that's pretty fascinating and making me really think.
You know, you guys mentioned the ancient whatchamacallit, the pyramids, things like that. The Egyptians, they had back then they had tampons and even had light bulbs, you know, thousands of years before Edison. So it's like we went backwards.
They didn't have electricity, though. I think their version of light bulbs was more like fire in a jar, which even back then, people knew that glass and water or something similar reflected an enhanced light.
Yeah, and some interesting, probably also dangerous chemical experimentation reaction and stuff like that. I think there's a little bit of cross of spare between experimentation and early prototype pre-electric light bulbs, and some interesting, technology we don't know where it came from, and even things like, I'm thinking about Greek fire or China getting discovering gunpowder centuries before and kind of bringing it over. And
just right. We've only recently figured out how they actually built the pyramids or got the Maui into place. So those are pretty big achievements.
I guess one of the big questions.
Even then, we're still not 100% sure we're right on that.
Oh, sure. Like, it's almost unfathomable how you almost think, we couldn't even probably build the pyramids right now if to make them look so similar, and how just absolutely ancient they are. It's an ancient that we almost don't even understand.
And that they figured out that level of math and angles with very little trial and error.
You know, what's really weird about that is maybe, you know, some you guys may or may not believe in the Bible and miracles and things like that, but at some point in time, I'm sure there were some kind of like miracles or what they saw was as magic. But even way back in biblical times, the people that pulled off some of the stuff that people wrote stories about, they had to have been some advanced science or math there, because I don't think they were walking around saying, you know, abracadabra and things like a snake would turn into a pole, or a pole would start to turn into a snake. But some of the science they used even back then, like, where did that knowledge go?
I mean, some of it, some of the biblical stuff was proven. Like the plague of locusts did happen. The parting of the Red Sea did happen. There's actually, the parting of the Red Sea is an interesting one, but I think that's a discussion for another time, because I can go on for days.
That's something I'd like to read into.
Oh, I will send you links. I will send you links. You are going to be absolutely impressed by what was found in how. But, you know, some of it, you know, you think, yeah, it probably did happen, but how?
Yeah, and nobody wrote down, like, it doesn't seem like anybody has a good record of, you know, like nowadays when you do science experiments, a lot of people write down, you know, step by step, even all the failures they had, like, oh, we failed, like WD-40. That was the 40th time they did it. That's why they named it WD-40. So, like, you'd figure these people had stuff to write down or records to keep, and nobody's writing down, like, oh, we tried for 72 years to build the pyramid before we actually figured out how to move these big rocks. And it's nothing like that. It's just one day they just figured it out, and then they just started building a tall pyramid. Like, yesterday they didn't know anything, now today they know everything.
No, although, that's a really great point. Who had the math?
So one thing to make note of is the pyramids are actually not initially from Egypt. Sudan's pyramids are older than Egypt's, and Sudan actually ruled Egypt for a while, which is likely where they got them from. Although Sudan's are much smaller.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's many, many more pyramids that people don't. Yeah, though, like just like you said, I remember that the pyramids in Egypt definitely get the credit as the biggest, best, and the heroes of the pyramid world. But yeah, there are tons of pyramids all around the world that are apparently definitely forgot about and not mentioned. And I didn't even know about the ones in Sudan.
Almost every ancient culture in the world that was non-nomadic had pyramids. The Mayans certainly did. Aztecs, there are pyramids found in China. If you go out in the very rural areas, you know, most of the Middle East had pyramids of some sort, you know, that type of thing.
Exactly. They're all over the world.
You mentioned something before I forget about, Cool Breeze brought it up, and it's speaking of like ancient and forgetting things and history being lost, and it gets back
we're
to
not that
some
old.
Of the well, sorry. It gets to actually some of the I like to think so, but some of the things we've actually, some of the themes of our we've covered and kind of coming through that we're noticing is it all comes down to war and history and the almighty dollar, and he who has the gold makes the rules, and kind of brought up how history is lost and history is decided by the victors, you know, and when you think about that and you think about why we haven't had these you know, this documented, hey, how's it going, Alien Joe? And hey, this, you know, alien came and saved the tribe and gave us fire and gave us silver and this and that. Is maybe in hostilities, getting rid of aliens was also getting rid of them out of history. Like, maybe there is more history. Maybe someday a history will be discovered that kind of ties everything we've been talking to. We might be on to more, some, more than we actually think we are.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure. That's the case. I mean, do you guys believe that aliens are real?
That was the question I kept on trying to dip in and out of, and I still can't 100%. It's the hardest question I think I ask myself. Of.
I gotta believe they are. I got to believe. It's like, when you look at the, like, ever since they showed the thing where they took, like, a little square inch of a screen, then they blew it up and they thought it was planets, but it turned out to be galaxies. It's like, it's millions of galaxies, and like, it's got to be somewhere. And one video I was watching talking about them, it's not like a, you know, the regular aliens we see on TV with the big heads and the big eyes. It's like, it could be a little small, tiny, whatever. That's just a blob of consciousness or whatever.
Cool Breeze, isn't this the end of Men in Black? Are you trolling us again with more Will Smith alien movies? Because if you are, I'm believing you.
It sounds like it, but nah. I mean, that's, honestly, I just think they are.
If anybody got it right, it was probably Men in Black, because they're so diverse in what aliens are. And the way I have to figure it is, there's so many planets out there, both discovered and undiscovered. And while in our minds, they aren't capable of supporting life, do we really know what supports life?
I don't know, but you know what?
They're not capable of supporting our life. So you figure at least some of them have to have life. And out of those, some of them have to have some semblance of intelligent life.
And that's actually, when you ask, do you believe in aliens or not? It's little green or gray or this, or like, I don't know. But like, I just think, I come back to Arthur C. Clarke's quote that two possibilities exist. Either we are alone in the universe or we are not. Both are equally terrifying. And I do believe there's other life out there, but I think it's just a life that we just couldn't even possibly understand, either too vast and huge or too minuscule and unobservable.
It could also be just too far away, because while we've observed universes, galaxies, there is much beyond that that we've never been able to see.
Absolutely. A blip on the map. Absolutely.
And that's where the Fermi paradox steps in. The vastness, the just unfathomable size of the universe, and we haven't found anything, like, at all.
It is kind of horrifying.
Very much so.
Honestly, I think I'm more afraid of being alone in this universe than not.
That's what I'm thinking. I'd be pissed if we were just out here on our own doing all this, and then the other side could be, we could be in a jar and some alien shelf that he got to see on for a science project. It's like, it's so broad.
We don't actually
where
exist.
We are.
Or would you just be someone else mentioned that, you know, our idea of a life sustaining planet is, you know, water, oxygen, things of that nature. What's to say that some alien or some being from another galaxy or another universe doesn't
those
breathe?
Those things might be toxic, you
know,
to them.
Yeah, exactly. They don't. What's to say they don't breathe? You know, hell, I don't know. Fart gas, for all I know. You know what I'm saying? Like
something we haven't discovered yet, because it doesn't exist here. You know, there's plenty of minerals on other planets just in our solar system that we still have not discovered.
Exactly, and I mean, we're still discovering new things on like on asteroids or meteors. They're like, whoa, cool. We don't have this here. But we don't want to bring it. Do what?
We're about to have a very unique, I believe April 8th, a very unique solar eclipse, or a unique eclipse that, you know, centuries ago, maybe even decades, well, I'd say centuries ago, would have confused the hell out of a lot of people. You know, religions would have been formed around these eclipses, sacrifices, stories, beliefs, false, you know, and otherwise would have been based and taken off of these eclipses. And I'm sure some civilizations would have been predicting it to the T. Some of them probably would have been off, and some probably would have had no idea.
Oh, wow. I could imagine being like a very, you know, uneducated early peoples and seeing and experiencing a full on solar eclipse. Good Lord, they'd be terrified, just flat out terrified.
I agree.
Like, imagine in like, you know, exactly. Like, what if it is kind of like, imagine centuries from now, we learn like that, like solar eclipses are like the way that like, you know, it has a deeper meaning, and that we're supposed to turn off all of our electricity on Earth during a solar eclipse. Otherwise, it's kind of like turning off the lights in the, you know, in the dark and hiding, or something insanely unfathomable, crazy to a different level that, you know, who knows? It's who knows what's on the higher level, and who knows, you know, who's looking down on us and saying, "Ah, let's not even bother with those guys."
You know, on another thing, yeah. Have you guys seen the moon lately? Like, I've noticed that.
It's been a while since I went outside at night and looked up.
You know how, like, whenever it goes through its phases, it goes from left to right, and then, you know what I'm saying, like it goes around in a circle.
Yeah.
And my youngest daughter keeps pointing out to me that it always looks like the moon is smiling. Like the crescent part is on the bottom instead of on the left side or the right side. And I looked that up and it's supposed to be rare, but it's happening an awful lot lately.
I think it's because of tilted axis and seasons and whatnot.
It's got to be. It's just my daughter's all like, because you guys heard of weird. You guys heard of the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland. And yeah. Every time he disappeared, he would like leave that smile behind and it would kind of like morph into the moon. I'm like, the moon doesn't have a smile on the bottom. It's on the side. Now looking up at the moon every night, I'm like, wait, it does have a smile. What the hell?
So
that's the next target. The moon is the next target. And that's where I believe you're NASA. You want to get up to the moon and take a little visit and see what's been going up there for the last 40 or so years since they've been up there.
I mean, they are currently working on Project Diana, which will get them back on the moon.
Sure. Great idea. I think, I don't know, I hope there's something they discover and something new up there, something they can, something new, not just go to the moon for the sake of going to the moon, but it is the next step. Getting back to that glory would be pretty awesome, I guess. And I will definitely
see that when that happens. NASA would agree with that.
While Ridley Scott is still alive and he can still direct the moon landing, the sequel, that is, of course.
Oh, I think it'll be live streamed this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Harder to pull off.
Got to be.
Both harder and easier to pull off a deep fake. Absolutely. Good call.
So when did you guys first stumble across the idea of aliens?
As a child? Always kind of movies from long, long time ago. I think the first big movie I watched was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic first one. Man, that's a great first one.
Oh, yeah. I was really young when I saw that. I think the year it came out or something like that. And I was like, oh, my God.
And then they had like the best movies ever made.
Yeah. And then they had like the director's cut where it actually showed him get on top of get inside the ship and meet the actual aliens. I'm like, holy crap. You know, it was the biggest thing ever back when I was a kid, you know. And I was like, oh, what about this, Dad? Are they real? What? You know, I'm a kid. So I'm asking all kinds of crazy questions.
I am due for a rewatch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that would be pretty cool.
But space has always been that type of, like, had that type of hold over the whole world. Like, it was a time when astronauts were, like, the rock stars. Like, I mean, you saw an astronaut, they got treated like super-duper stars. And everybody just likes having space as a catch-all for all the mysterious stuff that happens, like something out of space is causing it type thing. And that's how I was growing up. Science is what got me into, I'm like, man, just in my brain, my logical brain, I'm like, it's no way all this stuff is going on. We're the only ones here. And then Star Wars just rocketed it up for everybody. That's when everybody just started going crazy.
Is that what it was for you? Was it Star Wars that was your first, Amber's answer to your answer's question? Was that what really got you to the sci-fi and alien?
Actually, curiosity? No. So when I was 11, my dad, for my birthday, he knew I was interested in science and weird stuff. So he wrote to the National Ufology Institute and sent me this huge packet of research and paperwork and documentation and numbers. And I wish I still had it. Like, that thing had to have been 2 inches thick. There was so much in there. And I have just been hooked ever since.
It'd be a collector's item nowadays, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was all printed up. Like, oh, excuse me. My voice is going tonight. But no, it was all just printed off of a computer. So it wasn't huge deal. Like, if it had been a book or something, yes, it definitely would have been a collector's item. But I'm sure I could still, like, find the files and reprint them.
Cool reason. When you brought up Star Wars, was that your first big, like, movie or TV or exposure to, like, alien culture and space pop culture kind of thing?
No, it's weird. It really wasn't. the thing, and y'all don't laugh, but the thing that got me into learned about aliens. I don't know if y'all are old. Well, y'all might be. But it was a TV show named ALF.
Oh, and, love me some ALF.
Oh, alien life form.
Yeah, and I used to watch that. And that is what got me, like, enthralled. I'm like, where'd he come from? So I started looking up all kind of weird stuff on aliens. And so that's when I really started paying attention more to, you know, the Star Wars and the Star Treks and the Close Encounters and weird stuff like that. But people are going to laugh.
I tasted the cat once.
ALF did make sci-fi pretty accessible. Like, for like a dumb sci-fi, or sorry, for a dumb sitcom show, it actually had some pretty good sci-fi wonder with like the planet Melmac. And it had a pretty good little lore for a little sitcom. Mine was Across, and it's like two of the earliest movies I can remember, like, just like our my parents throwing us in front of and watching on loop. It was a cross between Howard the Duck and Flight of the Navigator. Those are the two first, like, real sci-fi that really, like, kind of broke my brain apart, where I was like, whoa, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, dude, Navigator was awesome. I watched that movie so many times.
So well done for the time. And, like, even now, I talk about rewatches. I feel like it would still kind of hold up.
That would be a great movie for a remake. I don't understand why they don't remake the good ones instead of remaking the garbage ones.
Or they remake the ones that don't need remakes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we've talked about history. We've talked about our favorites and where we got started. Like I said, I kind of want to steer away from Area 51. But the other big thing that has been connected with UFOs over time is the Bermuda Triangle.
Interesting.
What are your guys' thoughts there?
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid and they were talking about this, and it just seemed like I was the only one that cared in my area. I'm like, why are we not talking? I'm like, we're all going to die. Something terrible is going to happen. Nobody cared. And I was the only one that cared. That's the only thing I remember about the Bermuda Triangle. Nobody would listen to me.
Because you were right in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's true. It's right down there. It was. And so when I moved to America, I was like, man, we should care about this more.
Yeah, exactly. You hear of like stories where, like, okay, like, you know, 12 ships went on. I'm going to exaggerate numbers and I'm not going to be exact, but it's like 12, 12 planes go out and they disappear and never trace from them. So they send out a rescue mission of another, like, say, six planes or something to go look after them, and they disappear.
And then
they're trying to, and they're trying to say now that, oh, actually, the whole thing is, those disappearances are all the normal amount. They're just more reported than the rest of the world. But yeah, that's actually kind of normal. And it was exaggerated. It's like, is that better? Is that better that, like, oh, all these disappearing planes and ships, that's actually kind of normal. It just gets more attention. I'm thinking that's like, that doesn't make me feel better.
Weird.
Like, yeah.
Right.
It may just be fear mongering when they do it. Like, when they want you to hear about it, they weren't like, hey, you know, this is what's going on. You should be scared about this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why didn't you talk about this when it happened instead of like 3 years later?
Right. I suspect the Bermuda Triangle will eventually be an episode we cover.
Definitely.
There is so much more there than just reports of UFOs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of info on the triangle. Absolutely.
Yeah, there is just so much out there that we could cover. My brain is still going like a million different places at once. I was looking at something earlier and now I can't write. So we've talked about UFOs specifically, but what are your thoughts about abductions?
Good call. There, it seemed like it was a good like 6 or 7 years where it was all in pop culture. I actually remember a really early made-for-TV movie, if you remember those, it was all about alien abductions. And there was actually one of my favorite Star Trek: The Next Generation episodes deals with the actual members of the Enterprise being abducted by aliens doing experiments. Where I kind of like, oh, you know what? I guess like even aliens in space would also do alien abductions, which is kind of two layers. But I think that actually is on the, if they are coming around, that's probably slightly on the plausible side, because I guess they'd be pretty damn curious about us.
You would definitely think so.
How about yourself?
I'd like to hear what Coolbreeze and Java have to think. Because once I dive into this, I've got actual incidents I'm going to talk about.
Well, me personally, I think it's more along the lines of how if we traveled somewhere, we'd probably be marooned. I don't think people have been abducted. They might have been like once. If any aliens came here, they have something here that they take you in, and they abduct you, not take you into outer space type thing. I think it's more abduction that they're here and they're doing stuff like that. And maybe they can transmit back, but I just don't see how somebody, like, I don't think they're advanced to where they came in and abducted us, took us to another planet, then brought us back and dropped us off type thing.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know about actual abductions in the sense that we believe it happens. I mean, they said that there's, I don't even remember where I read it from, but, you know, if there was an advanced alien species, there's a chance that they planted the seed for life to be here. And I don't think they're going to, like, pick up anybody to do experiments on them, because we most likely have similar DNA somewhere. They might, like, be hidden in the skies or something like that, just kind of, like, observing and seeing, well, this century they invented space flight. You know, this century they invented, you know, pyramids. You know, and then I don't think we're going to get too much attention until we figure out how to, like, travel a lot closer than the speed of light. Because as it stands, our only real form of, like, propulsion is blowing things up, like explosions that propel us outside of the atmosphere. And I think if we ever get to the point where we've got a way to propel ourselves across space faster or further, like, you know, reaching another solar system in a person's lifetime instead of over 10 lifetimes, I think we'll then, if that was the case, if there are aliens out there, that's when we're going to get their attention.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. Like, if we were to ever be able to achieve as fast as light speed, or light speed, getting to the closest star system would be 4.2 years about. So it's, you know, it's 4.2 light years to the closest star system. And yeah, that's a huge lot of hypotheticals. And I agree with you. If we're ever going to want to make contact, getting a little bit faster and more economical and a little bit speedier, getting, making space a little closer will absolutely be a priority.
And you even mentioned Star Trek. Yeah. I don't think we actually, in Star Trek, I don't think they propel themselves. They actually, I think their warp engines, you know, quote unquote, actually bend space around them. So they're not actually pushing themselves forward. They're pulling space through themselves to go to those speeds. And that actually may be what we have to do.
It might be. On the topic of abductions, though, I mean, I have to believe that for some reason, some of these have been happening. There's just too many people who have lost time or fallen asleep one place, woke up somewhere else, sometimes miles away from where they started.
That's called drugs and alcohol, my friend.
Maybe, maybe not. The most famous abduction was Betty and Barney Hill. That's a pair of names. Who claimed they were abducted when driving home from a party, I think.
Yeah.
They turned down a side road. Yeah, they saw a light in the sky, and then they turned down a side road, and they saw six small humanoid beings waiting for them. Which is definitely one of the better-known ones.
It was a gang of midget bikers with machetes.
That sounds more realistic. Yeah, that sounds more realistic. I like that one.
And then there were two reported in 1978. One of them in Poland from a Polish farmer. Jan Wolski. He reported that while returning home, two short, green-faced humanoid entities jumped onto his horse-drawn cart. and started speaking an incomprehensible language, and then invited him inside a white flying object. But the other one, go ahead.
The one you just mentioned, I think there's a little bit more of an ending to that one. If you have did you not want to say it, or is it that you didn't hear? I heard the exact same one, and he was forced to mate with the continuation is he was forced to mate with a very beautiful yet exotic alien, and was to be instructed that a child was going to be born to him. That's the ending of that one that I had heard.
To be fair, I'm reading this off of a list and not from the in-depth.
But that one is pretty famous. That's the one that I had heard in India. He's pretty adamant that he has some offspring out there.
Maybe, maybe not. The one that has always fascinated me, though, is Frederick Valentik, who left Morbin Airport, Victoria, Australia, in a Cessna, a single engine. And then he began reporting a strange craft to Melbourne air traffic control. His last words were, "That strange aircraft is hovering on top of me again. It's hovering, and it's not an aircraft."
Ooh.
He was never found. Neither was his plane.
Yeah, that's all kind of spooky right there.
Right. I mean, there's obviously the possibility that he crashed somewhere in the outback. Which point they might find him, they might not. That place
is
huge.
Yeah, the outback is huge. Yeah, exactly. he might never get found ever.
Or he might pop up tomorrow and not have aged a day.
He might. Or he might have crashed into the water too. And unfortunately, planes that go into the water are not always found.
I'm just so glad that we have space aliens and things to blame stuff like that on. And it's so plausible. So now we always have that one thing like, well, we can't come up with a tangible reason. Space aliens, let's do that.
Right. That's crazy.
Aliens. That meme with the dude. What is his name?
Which one? There are so
Oh,
many.
God. The guy with the crazy hair. I cannot remember his name. I got to look it up.
Oh, yeah. The History Channel guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. I never remember his name. I prefer to forget he exists.
He's so funny. It's so ridiculous. It's like something like Villa Galaloba. Just does something crazy. I can't remember. I know it's just something insane that I'm like, what? And he reminds me of the, you know, aluminum hat wearing people. Like, that's what he is.
He definitely is.
He can answer. He can turn anything into, well, the answer is clearly aliens. Like, you know, where bologna sandwiches come from, you know, he'll get you there. You know, like traffic cones, aliens, you know, hey, streetlights, they're aliens. You know?
Right.
Those blue lights in the sky. Yeah, aliens. It's an airplane. No, aliens. I don't care. It's aliens. They're gonna zap your butt cheeks. It's aliens. Just agree.
Anyway, any last thoughts for tonight?
All right. So I'll say, after reading up on this all week, man, I'm still on the fence. Like, I have a logical brain, and I gotta believe it's got to be something out there for us. But then I'm like, we've been around for so long, apparently, you know, according to scientists, it's been around so long, they would have been here by now, shown themselves. And then I start thinking about the government's blocking us from ever knowing about it and all kinds. So my brain started to consume itself, so I had to turn the internet off for a while. But overall, I'm on the side of, yeah, they're out there. Yes, they're here. We just don't know about it. And we'll find out one day.
What about you, Java?
I think there's just such a big universe that there's no way that there's only life on one single planet. Even if it's just a planet full of nothing but bacteria or microscopic amoebas or something along those lines, because it's just, there's no way that the entire universe has one planet, because that would just be such a waste.
Definitely. Nick?
Yeah, bringing it back up to someone brought up Men in Black, and it always reminds me of the fantastic quote when Will Smith's character finds out that we're not alone, is 1,500 years ago, everyone knew the Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was flat. And 15 minutes ago, you knew that humans were alone on this planet. Imagine what you'll know tomorrow.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely an important quote. One we should all remember from time to time. As for me, I definitely believe that there is other life forms out there. How intelligent they are, how advanced they are, I don't know. But there has to be something else out there. There's no way we're alone in this world or universe. But at the same time, I don't think they're nearly as obsessed with us as some people think they are.
No, I don't think we've got to that point yet where they're like, oh yeah, we really gotta watch these guys. We're too worried about ourselves.
They're just kind of like, oh, they exist. Okay, whatever. So yeah, Java, we talked about a few different movies and shows that came up, but do you have any specific recommendations for people to watch?
I do, and Cool Breeze actually mentioned it at one point in time, but the reason I'm going to go ahead and recommend the Independence Day movies, because I've seen the first one several times, and then, which was, we all know, is an amazing movie. But then you guys knew about the sequel called Independence Day Resurgence, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Still a decent movie. Not quite as good. But the main reason I wanted to bring up these particular movies was the fact that they are actually working on part 3.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? They're actually going to give it a shot, eh? Huh.
Yes. The article I read was published about summer of last year. Roland Emmerich has got all kinds of ideas. They've actually written the, I don't know, what is it called? Like, written the story of it. They just haven't actually done any actual shooting yet. So that's something I don't...
The second one had some interesting concepts. So, yeah.
Yes. Huh. I would like to see where they're going to go from the end of the second one, because I'm like, okay, so they're going to, like, get together with, like, this whole... Okay, spoilers. Sorry, guys. I'm going to get together with this whole alien, you know, fleet and, like, start building an army. That's going to be awesome if they do it right.
If they do it right. Shot.
Exactly.
Cool. Those are some pretty good recommendations. I have two book recommendations for us tonight. The first one is Xenogenesis. Basically, a group of aliens are dying out. And in order to survive, they have to merge genetically with humans because it's their only way to really survive. And it just kind of goes through how the world changes after that all comes to light. And then the other recommendation I have is Anne McCaffrey. She wrote a series called Freedom's Landing. And a bunch of beings, human and alien, are basically sent on a ship to a planet that is uninhabited, supposedly, to create a colony. And it's pretty cool watching how all of these different aliens from different planets interact in order to survive. But that being said, I think that is it for tonight. Thanks, guys. Great conversation. Join us next week when we will be talking about cryptids, specifically lake monsters, including your favorite Nessie. That being said, if you have suggestions, questions, or anything, shoot us an email, chatterfromtheunderground@gmail.com, and we will see you all next week.
Good night.
Cheers.